More than 94% of our law grads get jobs in the open market within 10 months of graduation. That's better than Harvard and Yale. Join the powerhouse. Now accepting applications at law.unh.edu. A mistaken call by the referees on a James Harden dunk has led the NBA to step in. Professor Mike McCann joins me to discuss. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or hosts and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So, Mike, for once, we're actually talking about a sports topic in the realm of sports law. We always end up doing antitrust or contracts. Like, oh, here's a sports-related topic.
Yeah, this is a classic sports controversy, right? That intersects with the law because it gets at league documents and rule books, but this is very much about sports. It's not a, like you said, it's not an antitrust lawsuit. It's not a criminal matter. It's about who won a game, fundamentally.
Right. What happened on the court between the Spurs and the Rockets?
So they had a game on Tuesday night, and with about 8 minutes left in the game, James Harden on the Rockets went for a dunk and dunked the basketball. However, the manner in which he dunked led the ball to go through the net and then back up. It almost looks like a weird physics experiment.
It was crazy. I watched
the
video. It was nuts.
Like, this would be out of a science thing. But the refs were confused by it. They clearly didn't know what exactly happened. And that confusion led them to disallow the basket. It wasn't clear whether they were disallowing it because of alleged interference with Harden touching the ball while it was going through the basket and the net, or whether it was for some other reason. But they disallowed it. And there's 30 seconds after a call for an NBA coach under the new rules that allow for instant replay to challenge. And during this time, the Rockets coach was confused, like everyone else, what was going on. So he didn't use that time to formally issue a challenge. 30 seconds expire. He loses the chance. And then later on, everyone realizes that bucket should have counted. The Rockets ended up losing the game in double overtime. Now, what would have happened with 8 minutes to go in the game if the basket counted? We don't know what would have ultimately happened, but certainly the Rockets were denied 2 points they should have had.
Right. Now, how often is the instant replay called in?
It's been used a decent amount. I don't know what the percentages so far this season, but anecdotally, it seems as if it's been used. You know, coaches can use it during a game, and they tend to wait until the end to use it. I would say it's used with some regularity, but a coach has to know what they're challenging. And that's the tricky thing, is that the Rockets coach can credibly say, you can't make a challenge if you don't know what the ruling is. Right. And that is part of the argument where a protest to the game would have some grounds.
How is this different from previous instances where maybe they waited too long?
Yeah. So we haven't seen it come up because this instant replay is a new thing in the NBA.
How long has it been?
Since the start of the season.
Oh, really? So oh, wow. They're late to the game of instant replay.
They are. Because, you know, I think with instant replay, there's a sense of human error is part of the game, and we have to accept it.
And there's a lot of points in the NBA game, too. It's not baseball.
That's exactly right. But with the feeling as if it enhances accuracy, and also I wonder if this allowance of sports betting in more states means that—
Got to get it right.
You got to get it right. And the NBA has had issues with getting it right. Of course, the NBA had an issue with the referee, Tim Donaghy, who was in part of fixing games, at least the scores of games. So this is certainly an issue where the NBA wants to get it right. But as part of getting it right, there's a series of rules in which a coach can only file an appeal, if you will, within a certain amount of time. And like in law, if you don't object in a timely manner, you lose the chance to object. So there's a parallel to law in this. But
there's also the desire to set a precedent. Like they don't want to go a little too crazy with how often they want to do these sorts of things.
Right. And that's got to be a concern for the league, because if there's a protest, then and if the commissioner reverses the score or more likely replays the end of the game, other teams are going to say, you did it there. Why don't you do it here? Now, there have been a couple instances in the past where the commissioner at the time did replay a portion of the game, but they're very rare. And I think commissioners want to be very cautious in using that power.
That has to be very rough. I mean, it's got to be rough for the facility, the teams. It's got to mess up with practices, game schedules. The NBA game, this is like, what, 90 games in the regular season for a team?
There's actually 82 games in a season. And as part of that schedule, the teams will play each other several times. And in this context, the Rockets will play again at San Antonio in April. So you're right to note, AJ, that this is potentially disruptive, though the disruption could be minimized by the fact that the Rockets are playing San Antonio again in April. Conceivably, the commissioner could have this replayed portion occur right before that game in April.
Okay, so it's less of a financial and scheduling impact than in theory.
I think you're right that it's disruptive, but in this context, it could be minimized potentially. But it is an issue with broadcasters, commercials, right? When is this going to be on TV?
It's contracts for broadcasters, things like that.
I do think those are manageable, and there's enough time. They've got, 4 months to figure it out. But
it's manageable because it's one.
It's manageable because it's
one. Not because it's happening constantly.
And also, it's exactly right. And let's reverse it. Let's say this happened in April rather than in December. Then there may not be enough time to deal with it.
Now, we kind of glossed over, what are the remedies that are expected with this?
So the remedy, there would be two remedies. One would be a reversal of the outcome of the game, in which case Commissioner Silver would say, I am awarding the game to the Houston Rockets because those 2 points would have, if you add those 2 points to the final score in regulation, the Rockets would have won by two. I don't think the NBA is going to do that. I think that that invites criticism because we don't know what would have happened in the remainder. You know, it's like the butterfly effect, right? That movie, right? You change one thing, everything changes. Yeah. And if those 2 points count, then the coach's strategies change and the player's strategies. I think that would be, in my view, an excessive remedy to reverse the score of the game. To me, if there is a remedy, I think it would be replaying the portion of the game that where the incident occurred, which is 7 minutes and 50 seconds left. Have a tip off with 7 minutes and 50 seconds left and let them play again under those conditions. That to me makes more sense than reversing the score.
What's the chances that it goes any further than this? Is it most likely the teams are going to go with the NBA decision?
Yeah, if they sue, it would be a waste of time, honestly, because they contractually assent to the commissioner having this final say. And I don't think, I can't even in my mind thinking that they're going to go beyond that. It's clearly within the authority of the commissioner. It's stated in the league constitution, which is a document between the teams and the league, that the commissioner has final authority on this. So they will accept whatever he decides.
Thanks for listening to the UNH Law Podcast. Be sure to comment and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. And now be sure to check out the video version of the show on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. See you next Thursday. Join the powerhouse for legal education. Earn your JD, LLM, master's degree, or certificate from a top 100 law school. Residential and online programs available. Now accepting applications at law.unh.edu.